Welcome to Girlfriends in the Word. I'm Lisa Dorr.
And I'm Robin Eschbach.
And we hope you'll journey with us through the Bible. We'll share scripture, a devotional, have a lively discussion, and close our time together in prayer.
We hope you'll be encouraged and able to live out what we talk about on the program, and even do it today.
Thanks for tuning in. Let's get started.
Hi, friends. It's Robin Eschbach and Lisa Dorr to you, coming to you from Radioland.
Woohoo!
And if there's one thing we enjoy, Lisa and I, it's just the preparation of what we do in this radio station. So we say Radioland, but all week long we've been saying, God, what do you want us to say as we're reading the Bible and bringing it to a conversation and also reading the devotional that Lisa Dorr wrote last year? And it makes it quite a combination. And so today I just invite Lisa to start us off again. And I guess we're in the book of Chronicles. So we've got 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles that we are conquering today.
That's right, Robin. And it is so much fun to be here in Radio Land with you. So let's get started. 1 Chronicles 2, 1 and 2. These were the sons of Israel: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. The 12 tribes. I'll be honest, in some ways, it would be easy to just skip through the Chronicles and the whole genealogy. It's just one name after another, listing this son and the next. When you stop and look at the individual, though, you see the importance of the connection. God sees us individually, yet he sees the big picture and how we all fit together. These 12 sons were Israel's sons. Israel's name was later changed to Jacob. Ah, did a light bulb just go on? We start to make a connection. How about Ram? We read a little further and see Ram was the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, the leader of the people of Judah. Nahshon was the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz. Oh, we recognize Boaz from the book of Ruth. Boaz, the father of Obed, and Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father, we see as we read, of David, the seventh son. Wow. So you and I recognize some important names, names that stand out to us. But all are important, and all play important roles. One could not happen without the other. If you're feeling unnoticed, you're just somewhere in the genealogy, if it's in your literal family, or it's in the dynamics of your workplace, or your friend group, or your ministry, God wants you to know you are important. He sees you, and he has great plans for you. Robin, aren't some of these names amazing and hard to pronounce? I may not have pronounced them correctly, but do you see the importance of them individually? Can you tell us about a time you felt unimportant, or as if you were just blended in to your genealogy?
Definitely. I have had times in my life where I thought, I'm just not being noticed here. And I have to say, you did pretty good reading those names.
Thank you.
I think the easiest one was Dan.
Yeah, there you go. I think that's the one I mixed myself up on.
Oh, that's funny.
Dan.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, we all have our moments where we have nobody's noticing us and we feel, you know, the little woe is me bug comes on you. And what do you do in those moments where you aren't noticed, you know? And my mind goes back to when I was growing up. Some people may enjoy the story because we would put together woof tour lines and we would fill buses. And so the couriers would take many people down to the PTL down there in Charlotte, North Carolina. It was just a deal. We did it for years. And so sometimes they'd be like, Dave Colonna, take this bus. Dwayne Nicholson, take this bus. Neil Enloe, take this bus. And of course, all the families would come and we would fill our buses and we would go down there. It was just the place to go for Christians to gather. I know we all have such fond memories of that place till this day. And so one trip, I think I was probably 9 or 10 years old. And what happened when you would get into the bus, there was this microphone up front that you could use to talk to the 55 people that were back in the bus. And so my mom and dad pretty much did all the hosting of the people, but Connie and I would get in there and talk on the microphone sometimes. And Connie was the younger sister. She was just, she'd go through the aisles of the bus and talk to everybody. But remember, I was very quiet and timid. So I would have hesitation. I wouldn't want to talk to people. And I would kind of hide in my own little way as my family was doing their thing on this bus. And so the end of the trip came and we were all kind of giving shout outs and we were allowing everybody to come up and use the microphone. And so one gentleman came up and he grabbed the microphone and he just said, "I want to say thank you to the Colonin family for all that they did for this trip." And he talked about my mom and dad. And then he went on to talk about Connie, my younger sister, and just gave her accolades. And then at the end of his talk, he said, "And I know someday Robin will do something with her life. But for right now, she's pretty quiet, and we didn't really hear too much from Robin this trip." And then it was over. And I sat in my chair, and I just thought, that is not acceptable. Mm-hmm. Why in the world I didn't get the compliment, you know? And my sister got a compliment, and I knew it was because I hadn't been vulnerable and taken the risk to talk to people and just encourage them in their life and get to know them and have them get to know me. And it was a moment that I was not noticed. Mm. And I felt it so deeply in my own heart. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a part of that same time where I wanted to be more for God. I loved the Lord and I felt like my family was doing great things and I wanted to be a part of that, but I had so much dread in my heart. And I remember one time this man talked to me and I started crying. Aww. Like I had big tears coming down because I was just so embarrassed that he was talking to me. So it was really a live pain in my life. Mm-hmm. It was real. It wasn't something that I was just playing games with. And what did I do with that moment that I sat in that quiet bus? You know, things got dark and we had hours to drive home. And I just pondered me as a person that wasn't being noticed. Mm-hmm. And they're powerful moments.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of moments that people live that are, you know, just complicated. They have great pain. They have trauma. Mm-hmm. Things go down ugly. Somebody didn't protect you. Somebody didn't include you. There's so many ways to get your feelings hurt, mm-hmm. or just to feel like there were so many people, the chaos was happening so greatly that I got lost in the shuffle. Mm. And yet through the years, God has a way to redeem that.
Amen.
You know, he's in the business of making broken things beautiful and complete and whole.
Amen.
And so I have a testimony for that over the years, mm-hmm. that I don't feel unnoticed anymore. Maybe there are times I get my feelings hurt, but there are times that God has redeemed that in my life.
That is beautiful. I love that he's our redeemer. And you had to humble yourself to allow him to change you. In 2 Chronicles, it's going to talk a little bit about that. And so 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." God's love is unconditional. He loves us with an everlasting love. He sent Jesus, his one and only Son, into the world to die on the cross, to forgive us of our sin. In the Old Testament, we see in 2 Chronicles where God is giving 4 conditions for forgiveness. 1, humble yourselves by admitting your sins. 2, pray to God asking for forgiveness. 3, seek God continually. And 4, turn from sinful behavior. True repentance is more than talk. It is changed behavior. It's true, even in the New Testament with Jesus' death on the cross. He died for everyone. He wants us to humbly come to him and admit our sin, pray and ask him for his forgiveness, seek God continually, and then, with the exchange that takes place, our sinful nature for his robe of righteousness, we receive his power when the Holy Spirit comes on us, and we are able then to turn from our sinful behavior. You know, Robin, it wasn't a sin for you to be quiet, but God wanted to turn you. He had great plans for you, just like now. You might not be sitting in this radio station, and looking back, you maybe wouldn't have done all the ministry you've done had you stayed in that little shy place. So you humbled yourself before God, and you sought Him, and you received counsel, and you let Him turn you. He turned you into this beautiful woman who, to me, doesn't seem to be afraid to speak to anyone in the grocery store, on a bus, in this radio station, on the platform. Many times you've been sharing what's on your heart or leading women. I think we met when you were leading something in the very, you know, beginning of time for us. And so I think it's so beautiful to see a changed life.
You know, if I meet anyone that's young and shy, I have such a heart for them because I know how they're feeling, and I can go back to those times. And I think about, you know, what did it take for me to change into who I am now? And what will I be in 20 years? Mm-hmm. I'm still relatively so young. Mm-hmm. They say 56 is the new 30. Yeah. And I believe it.
That's good. Yeah.
But I, you know, recently I've just been spending so much time in the yard. I'm a gardener. And guess what I'm doing? Mm. You know, come July, you got to do some pruning.
Yeah.
Or else your yard is, I mean, with all the rain we've had.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just going to take over. And so I've been doing these holly trees. I have 5 of them, and they're so hard to do that I had to do one a day, and then I would go in because it's been so hot. And I was amazed as I was pruning them, the thrill that I had of kind of getting the right shape, letting the trunk show out, getting them smaller, taking off all those big long branches that are just hanging everywhere, and it was so messy, and I couldn't even walk by them because they were taking up too much room. And I thought about it because I thought, you know, pruning is kind of like the nose in our life, the resolve that we have. And so many times God, He prunes things for us, right? He tweaks our life, and He says, no more of that. I want you to stop that. I want you to be higher. Take the high road on this. And I was thinking, I was the one that planted those trees, so I'm kind of the person in charge of those trees. And yet it was giving me just beauty as I was pruning them to make them pretty. And I thought, how is it like my Savior, where He created me in His own image, and He is pruning me so that, and getting a thrill out of it, like getting a thrill out of taking the ugly dead parts off of me and freeing me up so that I could pop out some beautiful flowers. And I think that's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
We have to be open to the nose and the pruning and the things that are difficult that He's calling into order, that we know not, we don't understand, but we see the value of it because we believe and trust God with our very life.
Amen. He is amazing. And so we want to thank You today, Father. We say, Father, thank You for creating each and every one of us. Thank You for making us important and giving us a role to play in life. Thank You that whatever that role is, it's important to You. Where we've come from and the legacy we're leaving behind is all part of Your wonderful plan. Thank You that it's a part of Your plan. It's Your desire for us to be humble, to humble ourselves and pray and seek Your face and turn from Your wicked ways, our own wicked ways. We want, Lord, Your forgiveness of our sin so that You will heal our land. You have given us many opportunities. You are very patient, Lord. Will You please help us to do all these things today?